Okay. All right, so open your Bibles. We are going to be reading a very short psalm, Psalms 43. Now, I hope you've noticed that the name of this sermon is Unwavering Hope in God. And I hope this will be one of those uplifting messages. Uh-oh. Who's calling? All right. All right, let's turn off our cell phones. All right. Are you there? Everybody there? All right, let's read the text. This is David now. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Notice his joy is in God. My exceeding joy. And upon the lair being his, what's a lair? A harp, right? The lair, I shall praise you, O God, my God. Notice he calls him my God. That's a thrilling thought, isn't it? That the God of the universe is my God. He is the one in whom I trust. So, why do you, because of that, why do you in despair, are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. The help of my countenance and my God. Robert J. Morgan published a book. He called it Then Sings My Soul, which is a book about the history behind 150 of the world's greatest hymns. Hymns were written for what purpose? They were written for what purpose? Praise. Are to be sung by God's people during worship, right? Now, let me ask you this. I know that we sing these psalms and these hymns in our corporate worship, but how many of them do you sing back to God during your private worship? Read or sing them. I don't blame you. I wouldn't sing them either because I sound awful. But you know what? I don't think God cares. But let me encourage you to do that sometime. Just sing one of these hymns. Just sing them as unto the Lord. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you know what the meaning of the Hebrew word psalm is, right? Of course, it means what? Right, it means song, a song. Psalms are songs or poems that were written for what purpose? Oh, to be sung during the Israelites' worship. And just as there is historical events behind a lot of the hymns that we sing today, so there were historical events in the psalmist's life, particularly David, that moved him to pour out his heart and write the psalm, and that is certainly the case with Psalms 42 and 43. One of the most wonderful events to take place in David's life while he was in exile pertains to an old man by the name of Barzillai, which is recorded in 2 Samuel, and he's also mentioned in 1 Kings 2. Now, when David had fled the city of Jerusalem because of Absalom's rebellion, remember Absalom? He is David's favorite son. Well, when he rebelled, numbers of people had forsook David. Included in these numbers were, of course, his own son, along with his trusted servant, Shimei, and then the cripple, Mephibosheth, whom David had actually taken into his home and treated him like one of his own son. And then there was David's close beloved friend and counselor, Ahithophel. And when David arrived at Mahanaim, David and all of his troops, they were tired, they were discouraged, they were lonely and hungry and thirsty, but most of all, David was brokenhearted. He was brokenhearted, especially over his son's rebellion, which had caused such division among the nation of Israel. Well, who wouldn't be broken over something as tragic as that? Now, here he is, brokenhearted, tired, hungry, wore out. And then along comes this 80-year-old man named Barzillai. He came to David, and he brought with him some desperately needed provisions. He brought beds and basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain. He brought beans and lentils and parched seeds, honey, curd, sheep, cheese of the herd for David and the people, who the scripture says were with him. And they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in this wilderness." And you find that recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 28 and 29. And he brought the things necessary for David and his men's nourishment and for the regaining of their strength. And it was upon receiving the food and the water and these other provisions, but more especially the refreshing love of this wonderful old man, that David wrote Psalms 42 and 43. Now, can you imagine the gratitude David must have felt in his heart for what God had done through this wonderful old man who loved God and loved David so much? I can't help but believe that David was wonderfully refreshed. He had to be refreshed to find just, seems like, just one faithful old friend who cared. Just one old man who cared for him, especially in the aftermath of what happened with Shimei. Now, both of these psalms were especially meaningful to the Jewish people, Carol. Did you know that? Especially when they were in Babylonian captivity, and especially verses 5 and 11 of Psalms 42 and verse 5 of Psalms 43. What they would do is they would sing, and they would read these verses over and over again as they prayed hard for deliverance from captivity back to their beloved homeland. They would sing it and pour out their hearts to God. And they found strength in the fact that God provided for David through this old man who loved him while he was in exile away from Jerusalem, and that God had restored him. What they did, they took encouragement from that. It gave them hope. It gave them an unwavering hope that God might just show them the same mercy, and that they might be just as fortunate as David was to be returned to Jerusalem. So the psalm meant a great deal. Both of these psalms meant a great deal to the Jewish people. Now, there are those that believe that this psalm was written by someone other than David. Of course, I believe it was written by David, and that he gave it to the choir director to set to music. I also think when David found himself exiled from Jerusalem and from the worship festivals of God's people, and then that mixed with Israel's oppression, it plunged him into a deep state of depression. You know, I don't know how many of you here may or may not have suffered from depression. I have. I've been depressed from time to time. And it's a serious problem. It can be a serious problem. Sometimes it can be just absolutely debilitating. I've seen people who were so depressed they just couldn't function. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the man that we call the Prince of Preachers, he suffered with a depression, so much so that it was even not just debilitating, but oftentimes he had suicidal thoughts. In all of this, he said, left him completely dependent upon God, if God were to use him for his glory in any way. Does that make sense? Boy, I tell you what, when you're depressed, you've got to turn your thoughts towards the Creator, towards God. He is the only one that can lift you up out of those awful, terrible, depressive thoughts. And oh, I tell you what, how God used that man. He is one of the heroes of the faith, in my opinion. Of course, he's not listed in Hebrews 11, but he's still one of the heroes of the faith. Now, David is depressed, I think, for a number of reasons. Now, one of those reasons, again, is that, I mean, this would make any man depressed. He was hated by his own son. Not only was he hated by his own son, he wanted to see his father dead. Now, maybe David shouldn't have had a favorite son. I don't know, but he did. And Absalom was that one that he most favored. David loved him with a passion, and he had such great hopes for him. Now, can you imagine the hurt that he must have felt when his son that he loved so much turned on him like a ravenous dog? Can you imagine that? And some of his best friends had even betrayed him. Not just Absalom, but others we've already mentioned. And then there was the nut job, Simei, who cursed. Don't get me tickled now. But he was kind of a nut job. You remember he's the one that threw the stones at David and his friends? All right, I mean, his men. Well, do you remember Abishai? You remember him? He's the one that wanted to lop off Simei's head. You remember him? Well, he was. Last week, John was talking about him. I've got to share this, but Cindy and I were sitting back there. And when he came to this and he talked about Abishai wanting to lop off Simei's head, said, and you remember what he said next? He said, man, that's my kind of guy. I tell you, if I'd have been drinking a Coke or a Pepsi, I can just imagine it'd be coming out my nose. Because it cracked me up. Now, a lot of people say, John and I don't have a lot in common, we're just not alike in a lot of ways, let me put it that way. And I'm thankful to God that John is not like me. I mean, if he's like me, we'd be in serious trouble around here. But we do have some things in common. This is one of them. Abishai is my kind of guy, too. So, anyway, getting back to David. My goodness, with all that happened to David, who wouldn't be depressed? And by the way, later on in 2 Samuel 19, Simei seems to have repented of his actions towards David and asked that David not to remember what he had done. So in a way, I'm kind of glad Abishai didn't get his way, because Simei repented. Of course, I tell you what, Abishai, he's a stubborn cuss later on. He still wants to lop off his head. But anyway, he didn't, and so things were smoothed over somewhat. Now, the connection between this psalm and the previous psalm, Psalms 43 and 42 and 43, they are so great, the connection is so great, that one translation, the NEB, links them together as if they were one composition, and I think they probably should be. When considered together, the unified psalm consists of three stanzas of equal length, each of which is followed by an identical refrain. Now remember, it's the refrains that meant so much to the Israelites when they were in Babylonian captivity. So let me read the refrain. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, we just sung the song, hope in God, for I shall again praise him to my help and my God. And because of this, a number of Hebrew manuscripts has joined these two psalms together as well. But there are other commentators that believe these are separate psalms linked by the common problem of spiritual depression. But either way, Psalms 42. In Psalms 42, the psalmist found himself in difficult times because of his son's rebellion and attempt at taking his kingdom from him, which, of course, threw the entire nation of Israel into turmoil, all of which moved David to be increasingly depressed. Now, that's the bad news for David, but the good news is he became increasingly reliant upon the things that could not be shaken. So David's storm showed no sign of letting up. So in Psalms 43, he continues to seek God in prayer. In this situation, remember now, David had to flee Jerusalem, verse 3. And this prayer is that God would do what? Return him back to Jerusalem safely, verse 1. And here's what I think the psalmist, what David is doing, and what seems to be the main thrust of this short psalm. I think it's that he wants God, you see us in verse 1, to vindicate him before his enemies while directing him back to Jerusalem, back into God's holy presence. So, in verse 1, we have David's prayer of vindication. In verse 2, we have his prayer of mourning. Verses 3 and 4, we have David's prayer of restoration. And last, in verse 5, we have David's prayer of introspection or self-examination. In verse 5, this is the verse I want to emphasize. In verse 5, David is repeating again that familiar refrain from verses 5 and 11 of the previous chapter. And in this verse, David searched. I want you to pay attention to what he's doing here. He's searching his own heart. He's asking himself questions. Why? So he asks this question. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? So what David wondered was how he could be so emotionally distraught. Now listen. How could he be so upset if God is so great and awesome? That's a good question. The next time you feel depressed or you feel down, why? Our God is great. He is the great creator of the universe. He's the one that created you. He made you who you are, like you are, for his glory as well. So we need to ask ourselves that question. He directed himself. He gave himself advice by talking to himself. You ever do that? You ever talk to yourself? Well, that's a good thing. You need to talk to yourself. David talked to himself. So, when you get depressed, say, hey, where is my hope? Is my hope in myself? Is my hope in my... No, your hope is in God. So, put your hope in God. In other words, put your confidence in the Lord. Rather than focusing outwardly on what you think are your enemies that surround you, look to God, right? Get your focus right. Start looking to God. Don't look to self. You can't solve your own problems. Only God can. So what he did here in this last verse is he just became firmly resolved in his determination that he would praise the Lord who alone was his Savior and God. So, what can we conclude? How do these little five verses, how are they relevant to us? Well, here's what I think we should learn, embrace, and practice from this little short psalm. It's this. Even in the midst of all our problems. And believe me, a lot of us have a lot of problems. In the midst of those problems, we are to direct our hearts toward God and anchor our souls in Him. Our unwavering faith and hope must be placed in God, regardless of the circumstances that surround us. And to do this, we must call upon ourselves, again, talk to ourselves, say, okay, John, what's the problem here? Why am I so downcast? Why am I so depressed? My hope is in God. To do this, we must exercise a confident faith in God. Character and nature of God, particularly, I want you to really pay attention to this. The character and nature of God, particularly His faithfulness. Now listen, His faithfulness. To us, in times past, think on that. Think about how God has worked in your life and worked on your behalf, has been faithful to you, has blessed your life. You think on those things. And that will start to strengthen and bring you comfort today. God alone is the Savior and sustainer of His people. He alone can rescue us from the darkest trials and troubles of life. So, in light of all that, Carol, and being positive, throwing out a positive thought here, you can cast all. Listen to me. All your cares upon Him. Why? Why? Because He cares for you. That's right. Amen? All right. Amen. In a little while, every one of you are going to get an opportunity to tell why you hope in God and tell why you're thankful to God for His blessings in life. I want you to be thinking about what you're going to say in a little while. Now, what's next on the agenda there, John? Me to get out of the way? Okay.
Don't spew that coat.